Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on The Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. On our way to our conversation about the S-Pass controversy and our students here in Baltimore City, I'm going to remind you The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. There's been a brewing controversy that we covered here on The Mark Steiner Show Monday, and we're doing it more today, and we'll be doing it more in the coming weeks until it is resolved, which has to do with the S-passes, student passes for buses. And what we have learned is that the MTA is cutting it off at 6 o'clock. Now, several of our city council people, led by Zeke Cohen, who is new chair of the Education Committee in the City Council, who represents the 1st District, had a press conference yesterday at 5:30, and he joins us on the air now. Be joined soon by Brianna Rogers, a youth leader and student at Towson University, who is part of the intersection that Zeke was the executive director of, and by the way, that I have been on the board member of as well. Let me just put that as full disclosure. And Zeke, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thank you for having me, Mark.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here, talk@steinershow.org by email. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. We got one tweet already on this particular subject. Or just log on to our Facebook pages. So talk a bit about the press conference yesterday and what exactly is going on, Zeke.
Yeah. So here's the challenge, Mark. In past years, young people have been able to ride the bus for free between the hours of 5 a.m. and 8 p.m. And Baltimore is somewhat unique in that we don't have our own sort of yellow school buses for our children. They ride the regular MTA buses with everybody else. So when kids in the past have gone to their after-school programs, they oftentimes get out at 6, 6:30, 7 o'clock. What happened this year is that the MTA and the school system signed a contract that reduced the hours from 8 p.m. back to 6 p.m. And so for a lot of after-school programs in our city, and the one that's top of mind because Susan Malone was at the press conference is Wide Angle Youth Media, those kids don't get out until after 6. And so we're setting ourselves up for a situation where our children will not have transportation back home from their after-school program. And this is a city that less than 2 years ago experienced civil unrest, the uprising. A large part of that was failures in our transportation system, failures in policing, and failures to truly take care of our young people. So it's deeply frustrating for me as the chairman of the Youth and Education Committee to find out that we are again reducing mobility of our children and disallowing them from participating in after-school programming. It is unacceptable, and that's why we held our press conference, and that's also why I'm going to hold a legislative hearing in which part of that hearing will be to address this issue.
When is the legislative hearing going to take place?
That is January 5th at 4 p.m. at City Hall.
January 5th, 4 p.m. at City Hall. Okay, well, we'll definitely do a program around that when that happens as well. But let me take a step backwards with you for a moment, Zeke, in terms of the history here. So where did this begin? Was this something that the MTA began negotiations with the city schools and the city schools acquiesced to the MTA saying we wanted to come back? Or was it some other, did it occur some other way? What happened, do you know?
Yeah, and so here's the challenge, Mark, is that when this contract was signed, was in the waning days of the previous school CEO's administration. So this was when Dr. Gregory Thornton was on his way out from leading our school system. So Dr. Santelices comes in and inherits this bad contract between the school system and the MTA. So this gets dumped on her plate, and it certainly gets dumped on our plate as the new city council. You know, one of the questions here that I've heard is, why is the city council addressing this issue, which has to do with the MTA, which is a state-run agency, and the school system, which is a partnership between the city and the state. And the reason we are aggressively pursuing this issue is it is our children and our families that ride the bus and that participate in after-school programs. So it's not okay for us to say, this is someone else's problem. This is the state, or this is the MTA. We felt compelled to speak out and act because our constituents are calling us and saying this is an issue. And so part of the push here, Mark, is to have our council be engaged on issues that, frankly, impact children and families in the city of Baltimore in a way that hopefully is going to bring some new energy into City Hall.
So, again, let me just read you this tweet that came in, which I found very interesting. It comes in from Anakwenze Agbu, who tweeted in, and he also tweeted to both of us. He says, DC pays for students ages 5 through 21 to get free rides 24/7 on the WMATA via their One cards.
Right.
So why is it a problem for us to do the same thing for our kids?
Yeah, so that's absolutely right. I believe fundamentally that children's mobility is a civil rights issue, and that when we say to our kids that you can't ride the bus at a certain time, we are saying to them, we want you to stay in your largely segregated neighborhood.
Right.
So I completely agree with the premise. I think the challenge for Baltimore, as opposed to D.C., D.C. has its challenges as well, but D.C. has a lot of revenue that we don't.
What do you mean they have revenue that we don't?
So our Baltimore City school system is going to announce at some point soon a large deficit. I don't know what the number is, but I suspect it will be very, very large.
Huh.
The MTA and the sort of Hogan, under the Hogan administration, I would argue, has not been a friend to Baltimore City. Starting with the killing of the Red Line, which was a major project, which would have dramatically improved transportation for children and families in our city. And then not only sort of getting rid of that project, but not using the state-committed money to help Baltimore, but instead spending that money on highways in other parts of the state. So, you know, we have not received the support that we need from the state. Baltimore City has large concentrations of children and families living in poverty. And as a result, it is very challenging for the city to deal with these issues when they come up. And that's why it's so important that when people sit down at the bargaining table, that we strike the best deal possible for Baltimore. And my claim, what this city council is asserting, is that this was not a good deal and that we need to fix it.
So what does fixing it mean for you? We also have Brianna Rogers on the phone. The last few minutes we have here, that we will have a much longer segment coming up very shortly on this issue. Great. Brianna, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Here.
So Brianna, from a student's perspective, talk a bit about what this means from your perspective as somebody who had to use the buses in this community when you were a high school student here.
Absolutely. So, you know, growing up in Baltimore City for students, we see that there is already a lack of opportunity for students to be involved in after-school extracurricular activities, specifically activities that would help them transition into into college. So not having that transportation makes that almost impossible for students who already, you know, find it hard to find, you know, to locate and access those opportunities. So as a student, you know, that graduated from Baltimore City Public Schools, I can say that without public transportation, I wouldn't be in college now. So it's a critical factor in the success of our students post-graduation from high school.
You know, so Zeke, what do you want to, before we have to roll, and we will come back to this in a much longer segment, have Zeke and students and other people back and some other city council people as well, and try to get the DOT to join us for this conversation, which we've been trying to do. But what do you want to come out of this?
Yeah, so a couple things, Mark. First of all, I just want to get some clear data on how many kids are impacted. There's been a lack of transparency, and we've had a really hard time accessing data, which would give us the numbers on how many young people we're actually talking about and what the total price tag would be. So that's first of all, is that we want to get all the facts and be clear on what we're talking about here. The second thing is that we need to come up with, first, some short-term solutions that get our kids back on the bus, and then longer-term solutions, because this is symptomatic of a larger problem for our city, which is that too often the most vulnerable children, most vulnerable families get left out in the conversation and are not taken seriously as stakeholders. And so ultimately, I hope this is a springboard into a longer conversation between our city and state about equity and what that looks like within the school system and within public transportation.
Just to be clear, before I let you all go and come back to Brianna for a quick closing thought, is that you did say earlier that the present school administration is not the one that negotiated this deal. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so that has to be really clear out there.
The current CEO did not negotiate this deal.
Okay, and that's really important because it was raised that that's what happened on the show earlier, and I want to be really clear for our listeners where this all came from and what we might be able to do about it. So, Brianna, I mean, you said something very quickly. We have about a minute left, but you said that without this, without that kind of transportation, you could never have gotten the education that you needed in Baltimore.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think what allowed me to go to college and be the first person in my family to attend college was my involvement in community and community programs and after school programs, mainly the youth leadership program that at the time was led by Councilman Cohen. So education is obviously important, and getting, you know, going to school is important, but, you know, it's those other skills that you learn outside of the classroom that prepare you for life after graduation and after high school. And so the skills that I've learned in those youth leadership programs prepared me for, you know, what came after. And so, you know, it's important that we have young children and young students in this conversation as well, because, I mean, in the end, this is who it affects, and if we say that we care about our youth, you know, we have to show it in that way.
Well, I want to thank Brianna Rogers, youth leader, and now a student at Towson University, who lives here in Baltimore City, for being with us. Brianna, great to hear your voice in the air again with us. Councilman Z. Cohen from the 1st District, we will be talking to you very soon and leading up to the 5th, and keep this issue on the front burner here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA, and thanks for your pushing this. This is critically important.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Farai Shadeya. Don't go away.